I want to thank Katie, too, for making the cake. It's back there. So please, everybody, just, you know, love on Catherine after the service and have a piece of cake and join us in celebrating her 50th birthday. Amen. Okay, I have to use a handheld today because our other one's disappeared somewhere. This morning, I'd like to just spend some time sharing with you on something that's been on my heart for quite a while. It's something that keeps stirring in me, and then I have people who come to me with questions, and I mean, you know, they're good questions, and they're ones that I look at and face myself. And it's this idea of total confidence in God, and. You know, I have people ask me and say things like, you know, why aren't we seeing what we know God can do on a regular basis? And why don't we see that, you know, like why, you know, it said, greater works shall we do. We shall do the same works and greater works. And yet, you know, we see people get healed, but, you know, it seems to take forever. We don't seem to see miracles as much as we'd like to. And yet Jesus did. And, you know, what's the problem? And, you know, I never, ever, ever, ever would say to somebody, you don't have enough faith. Because that is just, to me, that's just not what you say to people when people are struggling. Because we've all been given the measure of faith. And faith is something we have, we all have. And I think, but we lose our confidence along the way because of things that, you know, just that we deal with and in the world and with each other and so many things. And so we tend to lose confidence. And so I would like to really speak about that confidence in God this morning being great reward. And, you know, it's totally different to, you know, like, say, self-confidence. Sometimes I think we think if we don't have the confidence in ourselves, we won't pray for somebody. But it's, you know, self-confidence is believing that you're capable of doing something that you are capable of doing, but it goes past that, you know. And sometimes I see all these, every now and then I watch one of those singing programs on TV, you know, like The Voice or X Factor, like, not often because they tend to bore me, but every now and then, you know, flip it on, and sometimes the confidence that comes out of people just so young, you know, they just know, I can do this, so I'm going to get on that stage and I'm going to take charge. And you can tell there's nothing that would stop them and there's no fear and they have that confidence. And then we can tend to sometimes get into overconfidence. I think people think they can do things that maybe they're not really capable of doing. And in the faith circles or Christian circles, sometimes we would call that presumption. And, you know, that can happen. And it's not that you're overconfident in God, because let me tell you, you can never be overconfident in God. Never. It's that we get overconfident, I think, in what we think we can do. And then we step out on things that God never asked us to do. And then we fall on our face. And those things then tend to affect our God confidence. You know, and then there's people confidence. Wow. Now, You know, that's people doing what they say or what they promise they will do. And that may or may not be reality. So a lot of people say they will do something and they never do it. And I think you find that in situations with, you know, it could happen in business, in careers, in relationships, in politics, you know, you name it, lawyers. People could say something, but it never comes out to be exactly what they've said. And then other people, yes, you know, you can stake their word. If they say something, you know you can believe what they say. And so there's that kind of confidence. But if we get let down too many times, even in the people confidence, you know, we start to put too much weight on that, and I believe we lose our God confidence. And this is just something I've been mulling over for a while, and I want us to look at some scriptures. I'm hoping to just build up your confidence in the Lord this morning. And so let's start with Psalm 65, 4 and 5. Because God confidence is believing in the greatness of God. It's believing in his strength and his integrity. And if you don't believe that he is of the utmost integrity and that his character is what he is and that he never fails, you're not going to have confidence in him. So let's start with Psalms 65, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas." I don't think the world sees him like this. The confidence of the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas. I mean, we don't even see him like that sometimes. But if you look at verse 4, it says, "Blessed is the man whom you," meaning God, "whom you choose and cause to approach to you, that he may dwell in your courts." Every single one of us has been called and chosen by God to dwell in his courts. And that's in his presence. And it's in dwelling in his presence. Sometimes I feel like a broken record up here, but this is it. It's in dwelling in his presence. It says, "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house." What's his house? It's that prayer that says, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Everything of his house, all that he is. When we dwell in his presence, and dwelling in his presence doesn't mean, you know, you become a monk and you hibernate, all right? Dwelling in his presence means practicing the presence, being aware of him, conscious of him, take his presence with you, converse with the Holy Spirit, make sure you spend some time in the Word because the Word talks to you, all these things. That's dwelling in his presence. Worship, singing, you know, whatever does it for you, all these are ways to dwell in God's presence. And it says when we do that, when we dwell in his courts, we're going to be satisfied with the goodness of his house. You know why? Because when you get to know somebody, you have confidence in them. The more you know them, the more confidence you have in them and what they can do. And I'm telling you, the closer we get to our Father God in relationship with the Holy Spirit and through his word, the more we are going to be confident in him and what he does. And it's not about us. It's not about a lack of faith because we have that faith. It's about the confidence of that faith he's given us. And you might think, well, you're splitting hairs, but I'm not really because, you know, you only have to be confident in someone or something and you'll move with it and you'll go with it. It's when we get nervous and we lack confidence, then it's like we feel like our faith doesn't work, nothing works. Our brain doesn't work. We just lose that confidence in even the things, the talents and gifts that God's given us to do. When we don't have that time coming with him and we're not hearing from him. So it says, "By awesome deeds and righteousness, he will answer us." Awesome deeds. God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas. And then if you could just put that next verse up there in the NASB. Amy. 71, is it? Yes. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. Now, maybe you might think, well, I can't say that. I didn't know God from my youth. But, you know, if you take it, when you get born again, you become like a child. Right? So, from your babyhood of being born again, the Lord is being your confidence. And you can look to him and say, you, O Lord, are my hope. You are my confidence from my youth. And it's getting to the point where we trust in that and we believe in that. And then if we just look at Hebrews 10:35, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. What's the reward? See, we lose track. We get into fear and intimidation or whatever through self-confidence, people confidence, overconfidence, whatever. And then we lose our confidence in God. But it says, don't cast it away. Don't think it's not going to happen because, you know, it hasn't happened for this one or that one. Don't give up on it. Don't cast away your confidence because it comes with great reward. And the reward is you receive all the promises of heaven, what we were talking about, the goodness of his house. And that's the other thing that I've been mulling about is I don't think it's, this is why I don't like saying to people, you don't have enough faith. I don't think it's just an individual thing. I think confidence in God is corporate. And I think as a people of God, the more as a people of God we have that confidence and build on that integrity of his and that character of his, the more that confidence will fall. It's like the anointing. And the glory of God can be experienced more. And I think there might be people who are struggling with that confidence. But if you have a corporate of people who are strong and built up in the confidence of the Lord, it begins to take over. And I think the more we as a people of God in general gain that confidence in God, I think the more we will see it in our individual lives. Because we're building up as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are building up the temple of God. And that's who we are. So it's not casting off this confidence, which has great, great reward. Praise the Lord. So having this confidence in God, it empowers you, it engages you, and it strengthens you. You know, when you feel weak in yourself, you're struggling in yourself, build yourself up in the Lord, in the confidence of the Lord. And it's something, don't just wait till you're weak. Do it on a daily basis. Build up that confidence in the Lord. A little bit of a tongue tie there. Because, you know, it also makes it possible for you to achieve the things in your life that God has ordained for you to achieve. Now, that's the difference there. All right? So you don't want to get into overconfidence or self-confidence where you just go down a track and you pay no attention or have no communication with whatever God's saying to you, you know, and that's how you can end up in a dead-end street. But if you're hearing from the Holy Spirit all the time, you get those checks and balances in here. You do. It comes deep down in here. You get that little, that bit of a scratchy feeling, I don't know, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, hindsight is a good teacher. And, you know, you might miss it or fail at some stage. And you look back and you think, I just knew I shouldn't have done that. Or I had the sense of don't go that way and I disobeyed it or ignored it. Okay, those things, instead of letting them zap your confidence, let them build you up in the fact that God was trying to get to you. And he will still steer and guide you. And so you can have confidence in the things that you do in life, but also when your confidence is built up in God, then you will start to see the supernatural overtake the natural in every area of your life because you're being more involved and you're being more, you're tapping in more to the things that can't be seen rather than the things that are seen. And that's, you know, it's not an easy road, because it's very easy to just go with what's in front of your face, isn't it? You know, what you hear, what you feel, what you see. It's so easy, and especially with all this stuff happening in the world, it's easy to slip into fear and hopelessness, but not if your confidence is built in God and in His strength and character and in His integrity. I want to put something up for you. If you can just show the first slide, Amy. So what's your God confidence level? I thought this was really cute. Here's a Sprint confidence rating scale. I know it starts at 0 to 10, but, you know, I want to start there at 10. Because oftentimes we're going along and we're just confident and happy because nothing's hit us and, you know, we're not worried about anything. And then, you know, you hear things happening in the world and then you start to think, oh, you know, well, I'm probably okay. And then maybe you might start feeling something in your body. And all of a sudden it's, oh, I'm not sure. This is, tell me, come on, I'm not the only one that gets like this. And then you go to the doctor. Now you're getting worried. It's not going to happen. How many times have you had this awful report, either from a doctor or from a businessman, a bank manager or something, and here's the writing on the wall, this is how it is, this is the fact, and immediately, it's just not going to happen. I'm just not going to get out of this. I'm going to die. It's immediately our confidence level from our environment gets shot down to zero. It's not going to happen. And so, you know, look at where you might be on that scale. You know, maybe there's something you're facing in your life right now that you might be getting worried about. Or maybe you're just at not too sure. I think sometimes if you're at the not too sure point, that to me would be the pivotal point. You know, you're not too sure, so well, man, I got to get in God's presence here. I need some answers. I need to know. And look, I like to always know what God's saying before I see a bank manager or a physician or whatever. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those people. And, you know, they're there to help us. But you want to know what God's saying beforehand, right? So He can steer you in the right way. And so, you know, we tend to lean more on the scale from not sure, getting worried till it's not going to happen, rather than I'm probably okay or confident and happy. So where are you in your confidence with the Lord this morning? Hopefully you're at confidence and happy. But Amy, if you can just put up Hebrews 11:1. Because this is where our indwelt confidence comes from. And we're going to look at it first at the NIV. And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Right there. Was it the NIV? The NIV, mine said something different. Hold on. It had the word confidence in there. Just let me pull mine up. Yes, the NIV that I have in my iPad here says, now faith is confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That confidence and assurance only comes through your faith in God. And like I said, you all have it. When you got born again, it took faith to believe that Jesus Christ was the answer. And Scripture says you were dealt the measure of faith because He came in. And so it says now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we don't see. You didn't see Jesus when you accepted Him. But you have that confidence that He's real. Maybe you saw the effects of Him. You know, when you came to the Lord, maybe there was something that turned you that way and you saw the effects, maybe in another person, or maybe you got healed, or maybe you got set free from something and wow, your eyes were open. So you might have seen the effects of his power, but you didn't actually see Jesus. So you believed by faith. And so that's the confidence that you have. It's an assurance of what you don't see. And then the NLT translation. Okay, that says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance. But again, my translation here said, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So your faith that you already have gives you the assurance and the confidence that you can see what man says you cannot see. And it's believing that he is true to his word. And you know, it's believing it even when we don't always see what we think we should see. It's believing it when you feel, I prayed and that didn't happen. All right? When you think, well, God doesn't fail. And you can't say it's your fault. We think there's a lot of circumstances and things in the environment and whatever. But it doesn't deny the fact that he is faithful and God doesn't fail. It doesn't deny the fact. All right? As we go, like I said, as there's more corporate anointing and as more people gain their confidence in God, I believe we're going to see things where God's presence and anointing is going to be dropping everywhere. It's not a matter of who you are, it's a matter of who he is and the confidence of who we carry in us. And you know, the scripture says that in the last days, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now that tells me there's going to be an army of people rising up worldwide, countrywide, worldwide. It starts with each of us individually. If we each build that confidence in God, that is more anointing and power that's being penetrated right here on the earth where we are walking. And we will see these things more and more. Please do not give up on God if you don't see something the way you thought it should be. It doesn't take away who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He does not change. And I think that is one of the hardest things that people face, especially with healing. It's that people confidence. We do tend to take more confidence in the facts and figures, whether it's the economy or anything. The doctors, the reports, we tend to put more confidence in that because it's something we could see and it seems real, and it is real. But we forget that the supernatural supersedes that and the truth is greater than the fact. And so we lose our confidence because of that report or what we've seen happen with other people. Trust, faith and trust are synonyms of confidence. So it's like, you know, that you can't really separate them from each other. If you trust God, you will have confidence in who he is and his ability and what he can do. And if you just pull up Hebrews 11:6, Amy. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Sorry about that. Where was I? That's right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You have faith. All right? When you come to Jesus, that faith is deposited into you. It took faith to believe him. You have that faith. So right there, you are pleasing him. When you come to him, of course, that pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. There is the first line, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You're not going to receive Jesus if you don't believe who he is. Right? So By faith you came to him. And you have that faith, and you believe who he was, and you still believe who he is. But the next line says, must believe who he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him means let's get to know each other. Now, I can probably look at any husband and wife team here who've been together for a fairly long time, even those who haven't been together for a long time, and I would dare say you know your spouse. You feel pretty confident, wouldn't you? You would be able to know if they committed something to you or if they were going to set out to do something, you would know if it would happen or not, wouldn't you? You would have total confidence in what they say to you. Why? Because you know them. You have this relationship with them. You talk about things. You laugh about things. You cry about things. You yell at each other about things. You know, you can have a go at God. It's not going to hurt him. You know, you're frustrated. Tell him your frustration. This is what relationship is. Relationship is being real. Being real with God. And the marriages that work are ones where they're real. They talk, they converse, they communicate. They pray together, of course. But we're just talking natural speaking. They're real, and they know they can depend and rely on one another, and they know they will be faithful. You know, I can tell you, every partner sitting in here, you know your partner will be faithful to you. Right? That's a confidence, isn't it? How come we can have that confidence in a spouse, but we can't have it in the God of the universe? It just boils down to how much we know him. Isn't that simple? You don't have to kill yourself with works trying to create more faith. It's there. You just have to get to know the faith giver. Just get to know the person who all this integrity is about and who has formed the world and formed us and created us and everything that's in it, and everything for our pleasure. Get to know him, and you will be more confident in him. And so, the second slide, when you get to know your maker, I like this one. Like that? I thought that was so cute. You might feel like the little kitty cat, but when you look in that mirror, it's not you you're seeing. You're seeing the lion of the tribe of Judah. My goodness. You know, when fear and intimidation come at you, when sickness comes at you, you just look at who your maker is. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are connected. You are married to him. You are in close relationship with him. He's caused you to approach him. Like we read in the beginning in Psalms, to come close and dwell in his courts. And with that comes that authority. Comes that authority and that assurance that it's not you, it's not your self-confidence or anybody else's confidence. It's confidence in God. Oh, my goodness. I just think we just need to... so much. I want to build my confidence in him. Look, it wanes. It does wane. And you feel like sometimes, like, what happened to it? You know, and I think about, you know, Abraham and Ishmael. Like, Abraham is a great warrior of faith. And, you know, one of the fathers, he is the father of faith. And that was, you know, there's the scripture that says, you know, that he chose not to look at his body and didn't waver in faith, which is true. But before that, he got into a bit of self-confidence. Like, God's not doing this, so I'm going to have to do something about it. And that's how we got Ishmael. But that wasn't, God gave him a promise. God said, your descendants, not through your handmaiden, your descendants, yours and Sarah's, will be like the sands of the sea. But because he lacked confidence, he went another way, and we have Ishmael. But I'll tell you, that confidence, he built up that confidence in God, and then he got to the point there where, okay, my faith is not going to wait. You know, sometimes it's just got to be that it's a miracle so God can prove his glory. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were both dead to those things, and yet the heir came, you know? And then, you know, there's that people confidence thing. And I want to read you this passage, and I don't want you to get all up in arms about it, like I'm saying something I'm not. If you can put 2 Chronicles 16 up there, but this is always stuck in my brain, this example about Asa. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Next verse. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Now notice it says he didn't seek the Lord, but the physicians. I'm not telling you not to go to doctors. Okay, so please don't say Pastor Marianne said that. All right? But it goes back to what I said originally, seek the Lord. You know, sometimes he'll put you on the path of maybe who you should see or where you should go. There's been things happen, you know, even my own life personally. If I had listened to what a specialist said, you know, I'd be in a bad way right now. But it was that listening to the Holy Spirit. It didn't sit right, you know? And God led me a different way, and the problem was solved. So, you know, don't seek the physicians and not seek God. Please, seek your Creator. Let your confidence be in Him. And I think we get so bound up in the fact that, you know, we get a doctor's report, and like that confidence scale we put on, it's just all of a sudden, that's it. That's it. I'm doomed. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let your confidence be built up in Him. You know, when there's a lack of confidence, surround yourself with other people. Surround yourself with people who will stand in the gap for you. You know, I have this thing now since, you know, Sue Sweeney got sick the second time. I mean, what's happened in her body is an absolute miracle. It is only the grace of God. That second bout of cancer, she was diagnosed as stage 4. She should be dead by now if you Googled it. Stage 4. 11 lesions in her lung. Lung filled with fluid. She had one bout of chemo. Only 2 lesions disappeared. But her confession was, God will keep me strong and healthy to the end. She sought the Lord. She went off the hormone medicine because it was driving her crazy. Her doctor said, I'll pray for you. She said, good. 1 year later, a whole year after she's finished chemo, now instead of just 2 lesions out of 11 gone, there are only 2 left, and they are minute. That is only the grace of God. No doctor could have done that. No doctor. Why? Her confidence was, God will keep me strong and healthy to the end. And through that time, like, you know, I got to say, when that report came, the fear hit me, smacked me in the face. And I thought, oh, dear Jesus. And, you know, don't Google. Don't Google, because it just, you know, sends you insane sometimes. And yet, you know, I just felt, you know, one day it just dropped in my spirit. I know I've shared this before, but it just dropped in my spirit when I was just, you know, because at that stage, Susie was like, it had hit her, and it was, oh, no, I've got to go through this again. And she was just like, well, if I die, fine. I'm going to go home to be in heaven. Like, she just, there was nothing in her to fight this the second time. Okay? And that's understandable. But, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and I was sending her scriptures every day. And the Lord spoke to me and said, cut a hole in the roof. You know, in Mark chapter 2 or 4, whatever it is, where the four men took their friend on a stretcher, went up on the roof where Jesus was, cut a hole in the roof. He couldn't get there. You know, and he probably didn't even think, you know, well, what are we going for? You know, what's the use? I'm just speculating that. But anyway, the four men dropped him through the roof to Jesus, where he got his healing. And he said, cut a hole in the roof. Carry her. If you don't have the confidence, surround people around you who have the confidence. And you know, that word from God, you know, it says one word from God can change your life forever. That word from God turned me right around. And I thought, that's it. My friend's not going to die. And I put her before his face every day. I sent her scripture every day. And you know what? Her confidence started to build up. She got a good report after the first scans. And her confidence started to build up. And you know, it's the same thing. It's funny. It's because it's like it's been a thing for me now. God uses it with me now. And just about every day, particularly when I'm driving in the car now, I cut a hole in the roof for Joshua Bell. You know, I don't want to see that boy die. And his parents can't deal with that. His parents are already grieving and mourning, which is understandable because they have that report in their face that he's only got weeks to live. And you know, I know all the people said, all the people have done that and they've died. Yep, that's true. But you know what? I'm going to cut that hole in the roof. Like Susie said, I'm believing he's going to stay strong and healthy till the end. And I just pray that the days turn into weeks, the weeks turn into months, the months turn into years. And God gets all the glory. Let me tell you, that builds confidence in people. That builds confidence. If you don't have that confidence, get someone to stand for you or stand with you. I want to read you, and then I'll close. I want to read you a text I got this week. Let me tell you, this is confidence, and it's God confidence. This is from Heloisa Nusky. So I know those of you who were with us at Montague Street would remember Paul Nusky. This is his wife. And then those of you who were at our women's winter warm-up last year, she was the guest speaker. You might remember that. This is what I got from her this week. Warriors, today is a massive day for me and my kids. This is the first account of why. My neighbor told me 3 months ago she had cancer in the bladder. It had to be they had to remove it and replace it with a bag, etc. We were devastated as the cancer was advancing and they had to move quickly. Chemotherapy was out of the question as she is 83 years old. They gave her 6 months to a year to live without the operation. As soon as I heard the news, I went to their house with my three kids. Start them young. You want to build confidence? Start your kids young. I went to their house with my three kids, and we asked to pray for her. Just simple. She agreed. When the kids moved towards her feet to pray, she asked, "What is that perfume?" I had no idea what she was going on about. But I remembered someone mentioning to me about Jesus being described as the Rose of Sharon some time ago. Anyway, today she received the crazy news from her specialist after a blood test and a third biopsy that she is completely healed. Completely. I am in shock as the doctors can't explain it. Ha, ha, ha. I can't stop laughing. Praise our name, praise the name of Jesus, our Yahweh Rapha, our healer. In his name we can boast. Love you, my sisters. P.S. How's this for confidence? If you know someone that has cancer and wants prayer, contact me, please. I want to obey my Jesus and love and pray for them. I want to see cancer bowed down to the name of Jesus. Yeah. And if you want to accompany me in this journey of faith, please join in. Her and her kids. I just thought, well, you know, I want that confidence. You know, I've lost some of that confidence. I'll be honest with you. It's hard stuff being a chaplain in the hospital. It's hard. And, you know, every day I go there and I come away from there and I think, you know, God, I want to walk through that place like John G. Lake and just see infections leave and see tumors fall. And I want to see it. I want the power of God to be so resting, not just on me, but covering the earth, his glory, covering the earth, where these things will start to take place more than what we believe they will. Confidence. Just put that last scripture up, please, Amy. Hebrews 4:16, the NIV. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? First one we did? Yeah. I want to do that one. You know, this week, if you're feeling, you know, if there's an area where you're lacking confidence and you just need people to stand with you, just grab someone, you know. You can come up here and you can get prayer, but, you know, I'm happy to pray with you, but, you know, tap in to who you're connected with. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Tap into his word. Tap into